Talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk Dad podcast, episode 88. Got Henry here with me.
Hello.
And I got Mom here.
Hi.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Pretty good.
Anything exciting happening?
Well, I just came back from having the flu.
Yeah, so you were out of... How many days did you miss the school?
3 days.
Does that seem like a long time?
Yeah.
I know, like, the last day you were out, you were like, I really hope I get to go back to school tomorrow.
Yeah.
You were kind of tired of being home. What was it like going back to school after missing so much?
A lot of during the first second period, there's also someone who had been, like, gone for a while that also came back. So most people are saying, oh, yeah. Oh, hey, Blake's back. Oh, by the way. Hey, hi, Henry. How many days were you gone?
Everybody's been missing from your school, huh?
Yeah.
Like, everybody's been
lots
sick.
Lots of kids.
It's the flu epidemic. We talked about that a little bit last week on the podcast. Are you feeling better?
Mm-hmm.
You've been taking your flu medicine. How much more flu medicine do you have to take?
Do I still take it?
Yeah, I think he has a couple more days left.
Got to keep taking it until it's done, even if you feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't have it bad at our house.
Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't like, I don't know. I've seen you sicker, but you were kind of miserable.
Yeah.
That first day especially, he was really, like, he just slept all day and was kind of a little bit pathetic. Didn't feel like doing anything, but he wasn't, like, groany or anything. In fact, we took him to the doctor, and his pediatrician, you know, gave him a flu test, gave him a strep test, because he also had, like, swollen tonsils and sore throat. And no strep, but the flu test was positive. He had influenza B. But on the way out, she was kind of looking at him, and she was like, you're really pleasant for a kid with the flu. And I was like, yeah, he's a good kid. But he never had, like, the really high fever. He didn't throw up or didn't have, like, any really severe symptoms. He just was kind of weak and had a low-grade fever for a few days there and a sore throat.
And the chills.
And the chills, yeah. Goes along with the fever.
You actually had the flu shot this year.
Yeah.
But the doctor said if you hadn't have had the flu shot, like, the kids who didn't have the flu shot had worse symptoms.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't as bad as it could have been because you had this flu shot.
That's what she said, is that she's been seeing a lot of just kind of mild cases of the flu with the flu shot this year.
That's what we're going to tell ourselves anyway.
Yeah.
So a couple other things that have happened. Something that I found out about today that I found really exciting. They posted the first trailer for The Incredibles 2. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, they already did that. Wait, is it like an actual trailer or just the teaser?
An actual trailer for The Incredibles 2. Do you want to see it?
Yay.
Should we do a reaction reaction podcast on the video?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't have my glasses,
though. I will
pull
it up. Give me just a second.
I can't react unless you push it a little closer to my face because I don't have my glasses on.
All right.
Your glasses are on your head.
Oh, thanks.
There they are.
I didn't know where they were. It was strange because I'm wearing
headphones.
So I had headphones and glasses. It just felt like headphones.
Yeah.
Well, now I can see.
All right. Here it is. Let's see if it comes through on the audio. So anyone who wants to watch video obviously can go to YouTube or find it somewhere else. But we're going to play the audio and you can react to it. Okay. Here we go. I watched this a couple of times today because I think it's pretty good.
How many years has it been since the first one came out?
A while.
Like a really long time.
You want to look it up? What time? When?
And this is coming out in 2019.
The first Incredibles came out?
I'll look it up.
Seems like it's been a long time.
Like,
don't remember.
It feels like it's been like 10 years, but.
Do you want to start that? You can probably see better than I can, Henry.
Okay.
2004 was The Incredibles, so it's actually been 13 years.
Wow.
It's going to be 2004. It's going to be 15 years by the time it comes out.
Yeah.
Superheroes are illegal.
We want to fight bad guys.
I am a bad guy.
It defines who I am.
We're not saying you have... What?
Someone on TV said it.
I was approached by this tycoon. Wants to talk about hero stuff.
Help me bring supers back into the sunlight. We need Elastigirl.
Bye, sweetie.
I'll watch the kids, no problem.
Supposed to do it, Dad. They want us to do it.
I don't know that way. Why would they change math? Math is math.
Okay,
math,
Dad.
Is math.
All over Dusseldorf. Dussels are dozing. Their eyelids so heavy, they're drooping.
Closing!
I couldn't have done this if you hadn't taken over so well.
I've got to succeed so she can succeed. So we succeed.
I get it, Bob. What the?
That is freaky.
But I can't keep giving him cookies. Nobody in a daddy.
What? No.
Done properly, parenting is a heroic act. Done properly.
Poor Mr. Incredible.
So what do you think?
I think it looks really good.
It looks really good,
it
huh?
It does.
So, yeah. I don't know. I'm sure they don't show a lot of the movie in the trailer, but
it's about to autoplay something.
Yeah, that's okay. I got it unplugged. But what I like is they show, like, what they do show in the trailer, it shows a lot of kind of the family, and it shows a lot of, like, Mr. Incredible being a dad,
mm-hmm.
and the line of Edna Mode about how done properly, parenting is heroic.
I agree.
I like it. It looks really fun. It looks really funny, and it looks like it's got a lot of good action. The Incredibles is one of my favorite Pixar movies.
Yeah.
It's
kind of underrated, I think.
I like that. I mean, it's this family of superheroes, and like clearly there are work-life balance problems, which, you know, there always are with any job. But I would think that being a superhero, it would be kind of difficult to be a good parent and a superhero and have, you know.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if most of the movies just going to show Elastigirl being a hero rather than anyone else.
Well, Edna Mode made the point that being a dad, being a good dad is a super... Is heroic. I was going to say superheroic, but that's a strange word.
It's heroic.
So he's being a superhero, too. He's just taking care of his family instead of saving the world. So,
the other exciting movie news is that tonight the Black Panther comes out and is like released to all theaters. So we are going to go see Black Panther on Saturday. I haven't bought tickets yet, but I was looking for tickets. We haven't decided exactly who's going with us yet. When we do, I'm going to go buy tickets. Are you excited for Black Panther?
Yes.
Yes is the answer. It's getting really good reviews. Some people are saying it's the best Marvel movie yet. It looks really good.
Looks I haven't exciting. Seen any previews at all, and I'm okay with that. I know it's getting good reviews, and I'm excited to see it.
And I think that's fine. I don't know that much about the character, the Black Panther, other than like he comes from this super high-tech kingdom of Wakanda.
Yeah.
That's about
Me
it.
And William only saw like one trailer, and then we stopped because we didn't want any more spoilers.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of trailers, but the trailers don't give away too much, I don't think. It looks really fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited, as I tend to get sometimes when there's a good movie coming out.
Does the trailer start with that sound?
Probably.
And I just have one question.
Probably.
Boom. I just have one question.
So we're going to go see Black Panther. Anything else going on exciting? Anything else you're looking forward to?
Valentine's Day happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a super exciting.
It was a thrilling day of the flu and more flu.
You know something I'm excited about?
What?
Our vacation. I don't know if you know this,
but
I'm really excited about our vacation. We've got,
I've noticed.
As we're recording this, it's like 24 days away. We've got a family group chat. And I've been sending like pictures of Portugal with a countdown on it. And mom's been sending some too.
Yeah.
And today is 24 days. When this comes out, we'll be about 3 weeks away from going on vacation. I learned something weird about Portugal a couple days ago.
What is it?
Do you know what a barnacle is?
Do they eat those?
They eat barnacles. Do you know what a barnacle is?
Yeah.
You've seen them on things.
They're like the little weird things that grow like on ships and on rocks in the ocean.
They look kind of like rocky.
And they kind of look like rocks.
Yeah, like the tiny
stony.
I always
but there's a little animal that lives inside them.
Okay, I always thought barnacles were just like calcifications. Like just, I didn't think that they were living things.
No, they're animals. I knew they were animals.
They are animals.
I didn't realize that some places eat them. And apparently in Portugal, they are super popular and they're really expensive. There's these kind of barnacles called goose barnacles. And they grow mainly in places like on, there's this one place off the coast of Portugal where they have some of the biggest waves in the world. They have like these 50-foot waves and people do surfing on it. And it's crazy. But apparently that is where they get some of these goose barnacles. And it's really kind of dangerous to harvest them because you have to dive under the water where these big waves are and harvest and like basically scrape them off the rocks. But they sell them to seafood restaurants. And the whole reason I know about this is I was reading restaurant reviews of places in Portugal. I was looking at where's a good seafood restaurant. And one of the reviews said, oh, the barnacles were good. And I was like, the barnacles? That's really weird. Who eats barnacles? But apparently they do. And I found this article from the website Munchies. And it says that goose barnacles sell anywhere from 20 euros a kilo to 125 euros a kilo. So a kilo is what? Like a third of a pound almost. Like I think there's like 2.4 kilos per pound or something like that. So that's really expensive. And a euro is like worth more than a dollar. So super expensive. But they're kind of a delicacy. And all they do is they just like boil them and then you crack them open. You eat the little creature inside it.
So is that a shell that's on the, are they shellfish?
I don't know if it's a shell. I don't know what a barnacle is, like how it's classified.
Probably like a starfish.
But those things, whatever it is, whether it's got to be a shell, right? Like attaches to like the bottoms of boats and rocks and things.
I don't know.
Right? Somehow it grips onto them.
Let's see what Google tells us a barnacle is.
Hmm.
If it will answer our question. What is a barnacle?
Barnacle, a marine crustacean with an external shell, which attaches itself permanently to a variety of surfaces. Barnacles feed by filtering particles from the water using their modified feathery legs.
So it's a marine crustacean.
So yeah, it's a shellfish.
I guess it's a shellfish, but it's right? got an external... No, a crustacean, isn't that like a crab? Aren't crabs crustaceans?
Yeah, they're also shellfish.
They're shellfish, right?
It's a little bit shellfish.
Are shellfish all crustaceans?
I think so. Okay, yeah, so yeah, sure. Crustacean is an arthropod of the large, mainly aquatic group Crustacea, such as crab, lobster, shrimp, or barnacle.
Oh, okay. So they're in the same classification as crabs and shrimp. But shellfish, I think shellfish are like mollusks mostly, right?
I don't know.
I think shellfish are mostly mollusks.
Now I'm looking at crustacean versus shellfish. There are two groups of shellfish, crustaceans and mollusks. So it's all shellfish. But crustaceans... There we go. But if you are allergic to shellfish, it's usually going to be crustaceans that you are allergic to. Not usually clams, mussels, oysters, scallops, but...
Oh, interesting.
Shrimp, crab, lobster, and barnacles. So... If you've ever tried a barnacle, I don't know.
So I don't know if we'll try barnacles when we're in Portugal. If we have the opportunity, I would like to, but they're really expensive. But apparently they're really tasty.
Hmm.
Would you eat a barnacle, Henry?
I'd try it.
Yeah,
just to say you did. I eat
seafood. Well, one thing that's interesting about
you like
Henry,
seafood, right?
About you, Henry, is you have kind of interesting tastes.
Yeah.
Like... I would say you're a picky eater, but you eat a lot of things that a picky eater would not eat.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things that you don't really like to eat very much. And, like, you just don't eat very much, period. Yeah. But, like, for instance, he will eat shrimp. He will eat sushi.
Lots of sushi. You love sushi. Is sushi your favorite food?
Spaghetti or...
Well, not if there's no, like, meat in it, because that just tastes kind of bland.
A lot of times you won't even really eat very many of the noodles. Like, you just, I don't know. Or, like, steak you don't eat much of. Or...
Well, yeah, and that's, like, really, 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 really good steak. I'm kind of picky about steak.
Yeah. And, like, the other day I offered you, we had, like, the Valentine's candies, and I tried to give you a Valentine's Kit Kat, and you're like,
No,
you only wanted the dark chocolate Dove.
That's because I was sick, and stuff tastes different where I'm sick, and sometimes a lot sweeter.
Everything was too sweet.
When you were sick, things tasted too sweet?
Yeah, that's why I liked dark chocolate especially then.
Really?
But you like it normally too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I liked it especially.
Do you like dark chocolate more than milk chocolate?
I mean...
Or do you like both?
One of the dark chocolates I like most are the dark chocolates with the cream stuff in the middle.
Oh, the, like truffles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate truffles. Truffles.
Interesting.
It is interesting, I think.
Yeah,
so it's really hard for me to predict like what you'll like and what you won't like.
The cream in the middle, it's not really like cream, but it's like creamy milk chocolate.
Well, it's the center of a truffle, whatever that is. To me, it just tastes like pure chocolate fat.
I'm not sure if it is a truffle or not.
I don't make truffles, so I don't know.
I'm thinking of those really fancy ones, the gourmet ones.
Yeah.
So I believe that Henry would try barnacles. Would you try barnacles, Allison?
I would try it. I wouldn't be super excited about it, but I would try it. I don't like... There are a lot of shellfish that I don't really love that much.
See, I really like shellfish, and I really like seafood, and apparently it's like one of the most popular shellfish or one of the most popular seafoods in Portugal right now. I would definitely try it if I had the opportunity.
Yeah. I like fish a lot. I don't know. I'm okay with shellfish. I'll eat shrimp. I'll eat crab. I'll eat lobster. I don't love to eat crawfish because it's just too, I don't know. It's complicated to eat it. It's a lot of work for something I'm not that excited about. And they just look like bugs because they are. They're ditch bugs.
I watched the show. Well, we watched the show together that we had talked about on this podcast before. Somebody Feed Phil. We watched the episode that was about New Orleans, and he goes and eats crawfish.
And it's just a big old...
And someone from New Orleans teaches him how to eat crawfish.
Big old bunch of crawfish, yeah.
And it made me crave crawfish, actually. You know, crawfish season starts, like, next week.
Really?
The best time to eat crawfish is, like, February through May, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And this year they're saying it may be a little slower because it's been kind of a cold winter. But by the end of February, they should have crawfish in the restaurants. I'm thinking about there's a restaurant called the Kickin' Crab that's over by a bunch of restaurants that we go to sometime.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about taking like
restaurant.
My whole work team to that because they give you like a bag of boiled crawfish. You can buy it by the pound and they just give you a plastic bag that's got crawfish, like a crawfish boil.
Yeah.
Taking anyone at work that wants to go, and I'll buy the crawfish for them, and we can just munch down on crawfish.
You're a nice boss.
Plus, you don't want to go with me. So.
No, I don't. I mean, I will eat it. I don't really get all that excited about it. It's just a lot of work for something that I find a little bit unsettling.
What about you, Henry? Would you eat crawfish?
I've heard from Will that's kind of spicy.
Well, yeah, sometimes they boil them in a lot of spices.
Like
it's
Cajun
true.
Spice.
It's good, though.
Will likes it
and
a lot.
They're kind of, sometimes they call them mud bugs.
Because
yeah,
they are.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they're like shrimp, but they're like a little bit, I don't know, gritty. Because they kind of live in, well, they clean them before they cook
but
them.
They but they do live in like ditches. I mean,
yeah.
They're,
yeah.
So crawfish, barnacles. What else do you like that's kind of weird?
You mixing like, a lot of random Sonic drinks. That's kind of weird.
Oh, yeah. I think all kids do that, though. You like pretty much any Japanese food, huh?
Yeah.
I know you said that to me before. And I think the most I've ever seen you eat is when you eat sushi. You just eat so much sushi.
Yes, it is good.
It's unnerving. I remember when you were...
Maybe it's because sushi is kind of small.
Yeah, so you just pop it in.
Yeah.
I remember when he was really little and we went to a sushi restaurant, and I really like... what is it called? Eel.
I like
grilled eel a lot.
Eel's delicious.
So it is so good. And the grilled eel at the sushi restaurant was really good. So I ordered some grilled eel sushi just for me because it's my favorite.
Oh, no.
And I don't love other types of sushi as much. Like, I will eat it, and some of it's good, but I don't crave it. I'm not going to eat a whole bunch of it. But I was looking forward to the grilled eel sushi, and I got it, and Henry was just little. He was like, what, 2 or 3? He was little.
Did I eat a piece?
He ate it all.
You put it, it's like the waiter put it on the table and it disappeared before mom could even get it.
It made me, I was like, look over
and Henry's cheeks are full of eel sushi.
Yeah. He ate it all.
I think some of the other kids ate it too.
Maybe.
I don't think it was all Henry.
But he was, I just know he was eating it very enthusiastically. And I was kind of surprised because he was a little kid that we had a hard time getting to eat very many things, or very much of anything.
Yep, just sending the sushi.
Henry was actually in therapy for a while, in fact, with an occupational therapist, trying to get him used to putting things in his mouth and swallowing, because he was so reluctant to actually put things in his mouth and swallow it. He just wasn't a fan.
One other random topic before we get on to the news. I had this thought the other day. And I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I was thinking about superstition the other day. Maybe it was even today. I think it was, maybe it was either today or yesterday. Doesn't matter. Not important. But I was thinking about superstitions. Are you superstitious at all, Henry?
No, not really.
Like zero superstitions?
Yeah.
There's only one superstition that I have really strongly. And I don't know why, but when I say something that I feel like might doom me, I have to knock on wood.
Like, I haven't had the flu yet.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I don't think I'm sick yet. Knock, 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 knock,
although,
knock, knock,
actually,
knock,
yeah,
knock.
I guess that's kind of a superstition I have. Not having the knock on wood thing. But, like, I'll try not to say something because it might doom me.
Yeah, that's exactly the feeling. I feel like if I say it, it might happen.
In fact, for a really
unless
long time, I didn't want
wood.
To say that I've never gotten the flu. And then when I finally did, I got the flu.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When you said, I've never gotten the flu?
Yeah, when I finally said it, then I got the flu.
And you probably didn't knock on wood either, huh?
No, I didn't.
No.
And I know knocking on wood doesn't actually do anything, but there's something about like just having that attitude. Like, if you say something like, oh, that would never happen to me, it just feels wrong.
You're inviting karma to step in and prove you wrong.
Feels like I have to do something about it.
No, I think karma will step in.
Well, or hubris. It's when you rely too much on nothing bad happening to you, or you feel a little smug about it.
Nothing bad ever happens.
What about like crossing your fingers, or I don't know.
Sometimes I do that when I'm wishing for something.
Yeah.
Like, please make this happen. I just like cross my crosses.
You know, they say people. You become the most superstitious when there's something you can't control. Like it's, you really have no control over it. So you think of things that you can do, even if they don't really relate to what's going to happen.
Or make sense.
It's just, it gives you something to do.
Yeah.
Like I don't really have any control. I mean, I guess I can wash my hands and I can try and get enough sleep, but maybe I don't really have enough control over whether I'm going to get the flu or not. Cause there's been a lot of flu in our family, but if I were to say, oh, I don't think I'm going to get the flu, I would want to knock on wood just because I'm maybe jinxing myself.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any superstitions, Mom?
Not really, but I feel like you can kind of jinx yourself, or not really jinx yourself, but you're setting yourself up for a fall, I think, if you're too smug, or like if you congratulate yourself too much on avoiding something that you don't necessarily have control over.
Anything you do like for luck?
No,
or
I mean,
to prevent bad luck?
I'd be careful.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I'm cautious.
That's
and
good
I try
plan.
To prepare.
Those are good plans. That's not superstition. Do you ever think about like...
That's not superstition. That's just like, it's my anxiety. If I'm anxious about something, then I maybe over prepare.
Do you ever think about like when you see something that it's like a bad sign? Or like something starts your day and you're like, oh, that's a bad sign?
No.
Or like if you walked out and there was like a vulture on top of your roof, would you think that's a bad sign?
Well, I wouldn't want a vulture on top of my roof, so yes.
Because
they're
kind of creepy.
Well, I mean, yeah, if it's hanging around your roof, I might think it's a sign that there might be something dead on our roof.
Yeah,
it's a bad sign because it's like an actual harbinger of dead stuff, you know?
Yeah, it might be throwing it up on your roof and then eating again.
I also used to think like that a certain number of good things and a certain number of bad things are going to happen. So if like a whole bunch of bad things happen, there must be good things that are going to happen. So it all balances out. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, usually it balances out like the next day. Like if I have like a really bad day, then usually it's the next day that makes it balance out.
If you can get through that day, then just look forward to the next day when it's going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
Okay, I have a story that is about science.
Science!
Scientists have observed that ant colonies act the same way armies do on the battlefield.
Human armies.
I've
right?
already heard about this.
Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
So scientists from the that described their observations in the Journal of Proceedings of the Royal Society B. So I'm guessing these are British scientists. Where is this from? I can't remember where I got this from. Oh, this is from the Telegraph newspaper, which is a London newspaper. These scientists observed a kind of ant called the Matabella ant. And these ants go on raids of, what do you call them? Termites. They raid termite colonies
for food.
They like grab the termites and haul them away so they can eat them. And these ants, when they go on raids, they take like 600 of the ants into the colony of termites, and they do these coordinated raids, and when one of the ants gets injured, it signals to the other ants to like carry him off. So they will take the ant that's injured, carry it off, and then they will tend to its wounds. So when it's injured, they will put saliva on the places where it's injured, and it will help them heal, and it has like antibacterial qualities. So they act the same way like human armies do. Like,
yeah.
Because you care for your wounded and you take
them
away.
Don't they then take the soldier ants that are missing limbs and put them on the front lines? Or am I imagining that?
We're front lines.
So they're like the first ones to be attacked.
Well, it says that
they use them strategically.
They often return them to battle if they only have minor injuries. If they have too many injuries, so how many legs does an ant have?
Six.
Because it's an insect, right? If it only loses one leg, it's pretty much okay. If it loses two legs, it can deal with that. If it loses like five legs, it just kind of thrashes around, and eventually they have to abandon it because it's really hard to carry this thrashing around ant. They try to, but it's really hard. So they made all these observations both in laboratories and watching these ants raid termite mounds. But it found out that they care for them. And the reason they care for them is they said that these particular ants live in small colonies. The colonies are only about 1,000 to 1,500 individuals. So it's like half the colony that goes on these raids. And they also have kind of a low birth rate, which for these ants is like 10 to 15 ants per day. I guess that's low. And so they have to take care of them, because if they don't take care of them, like the whole colony can be destroyed without... You know, if they have too many injuries. I thought that was really interesting.
Wiped out in one battle.
And all these, they behave coordinated, and they actually like have medics that go take care of the ants and haul away their injured. when they're raiding the termite mounds.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
Really?
So you heard about that from me, right? Story. Were you there when I was reading that in the news and then I sent it to Dad? I think Henry was home with me because he was sick and I saw that and had him look at it and then I sent it to Dad.
They said no, it was the first time they had
it. You talked about it. You didn't.
Was I talking about it to you?
The scientists said it was the first time that they knew about that animals had ever been observed like tending to other animals' wounds. Ants are kind of creepy.
They're strange.
They're kind of amazing. They're super strong. I feel like if they were bigger, they could take over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they really wanted to.
I kind of feel like they already have, and we haven't noticed.
It's kind of scary.
They could probably take over the world.
There are. I honestly, like, sometimes just thinking about how many millions of ants there are kind of freaks me out. Because there are way more ants on the earth than there are humans, and they are, like, really resilient. Like, after a rainstorm here, these big ant mounds, of fire ant mounds, will just, like, just spring up out of nowhere. Like, there they are. And you can treat your yard for fire ants, and they will be back within, like, as soon as the granules are gone, bam, they're back.
Yeah, and I think we might have talked about this, but when they had all the flooding down in Houston because of the hurricanes, the fire ants would, like, join together and create these big rafts
islands.
Of fire ants.
Yep.
And they can float on top of the water by linking themselves together. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
They're like
crazy.
They're like freakishly good at surviving and figuring out how to.
Yeah. I feel like better than we are.
How to endure. Yeah.
All right. Henry, do you want to do your story next?
Sure.
Up to the mic, okay?
Okay.
Or point it over to you.
Okay. Kansas officials say that a dog can't run for governor.
Aw.
I mean, technically you can, but I can explain that in the story.
Do we need a sound effect?
I was looking for one.
We're looking for the aw.
Kansas officials say dog can't run for governor.
Oh, I gotta find my... Aw. Actually, I was going for...
Yeah, like
I think
that
ought
dog allow, just like become
they
governor.
Ought to allow a dog to run for governor. It's got to be better than some of the governors out there
if he gets the vote.
And this dog looks like a good dog.
Is
I saw
a
picture
dog?
Of it. He looks like a good dog.
What kind of dog is it?
I don't know. It looks like maybe a lat.
It's a golden wire
retriever
terrier.
A what?
A wire terrier.
A wire terrier
named Angus. Okay, Angus. Kansas officials say a dog who's owner filed for the animal to run for governor will be disqualified, even though there are no state institutes covering candidates' qualifications.
So there's nothing that says that a candidate can't be a dog or has to be qualified in any way.
No.
They should let Angus run.
It's like in that movie, Gus, the mule that kicks field goals. It's an old Disney movie. When the scene when the guy comes out on the football field and says, nothing in the rule book that says a mule can't be a football player. There's nothing in the rule book that says a dog can't run for the governor of Kansas. So they ought to let him run.
I think we need to watch that movie. I've never seen it.
The Kansas City Star reports that the Taryn William Hutchinson, Kansas, entered his 3-year-old wire terrier, Angus, in the race after news reports surfaced that in the state or that the state does not have requirements governing who can run for office. A dog will not be allowed to file and put its name in the ballot, said Brian Kasky, the director of elections for the Kansas Secretary of State's office. 6 teenagers also filed for the gubernatorial race following a report from the Star last year that no age or residency requirements for candidates.
So no age or residency requirements. So like you could run.
Yeah, maybe you should be governor of Kansas.
Seriously.
What do you think, Henry?
No residency requirements.
No residency requirements. They can live anywhere, be any age. But apparently they're not going to let the dog run, really?
That's disappointing.
The dog's actually like a resident, right?
It's a good dog. It could probably do a lot less damage than a lot of politicians.
Okay.
Not to get political here.
Oh, no.
At the time, Caskey told the Star that he was unsure of the legal implications of a dog running for office. So he's technically unsure, but he says that it shouldn't be allowed. I'm not sure how to answer that, Caskey said at the time, because I cannot point to a law that sets any qualifications to run for governor. So a dog has never tried to file. I don't know what would happen if one tried to. I can't point you to a law that says anything about the qualifications to run for governor. But he just said the same thing twice.
Yeah, he's just repeated himself. So that's disappointing. I wish they would have let the dog run.
Yeah. Under Kansas law, there's no law governing the qualifications for governor, not at one, Caskey added. So there's seriously nothing in the books that lays out anything. No age, no residency, no experience, nothing. Lawmakers in the state are currently considering a bill to add requirements for gubernatorial.
That's a weird word, huh?
Yeah.
Gubernatorial
candidates. A plan currently under consideration require applicants to be human and be at least 18 years of age. However, the bill is not retroactive and cannot affect the 2018 election. I feel like you should just let him run.
Just let him run. If you can't beat a dog, you don't deserve to be a governor anyway.
Yeah.
All right, Mom, do you want to read your story?
Also, yes. I feel like this a good dog should be a governor.
Yes.
I feel like he should be good a good
boy. Dog. He's a good
Everyone
dog.
Should have a chance to shake that governor's hand and maybe scratch him behind the ears.
Wait, but then would the owner of him make all the laws?
I think the owner at least ought to be able to move into the governor's mansion with the dog.
Somebody would have to.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to clean up
after
Maybe
the lieutenant governor becomes really powerful. I don't know.
Probably.
All right, Mom.
All right. So this is another story about a dog, a good dog. This is about a corgi who has an unusual friend. And his friend is a pony, a one-eyed pony.
Oh, a one-eyed pony.
A one-eyed pony named Cricket.
Do you know what a corgi is, Henry?
Yeah.
They have those little short legs. It looks like a bigger dog, except it has shorter legs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
the Queen of England has had a lot of corgis, Queen Elizabeth.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Maybe because corgis
She's just always liked corgis, I guess.
Huh.
Anyways, a one-eyed horse. Why does it have to be one eye?
A one-eyed pony, right?
One-eyed pony. Just a little pony with one eye. Okay, so this happened in Missouri. A Missouri resident named Callie Shanker, age 22. Was coming home one night. She pulled into her driveway and saw something that kind of surprised her. It was her neighbor's corgi, and he was sitting on top of her one-eyed pony, Cricket. Oh. And not just sitting there, but actually like riding, like the pony.
The dog had learned to ride the pony.
Yes. The pony took off trotting and the dog just kept on him, like kept riding him and kind of looked behind his shoulder like, oh, hey.
I wonder if Maisie could learn to ride a pony.
I don't think she would. She was not so happy about when we were trying to get her to ride the skateboard.
But she does like to perch on top of things, like on the very top of a chair or on the top of a couch.
She probably does. The pony.
I didn't have any Maisie updates this week.
She'd probably make it a one-eyed pony.
I doubt it. She's not totally vicious. She's just a little crazy. But yeah, I could kind of see her wanting, like, deciding to just perch on top of it. Like,
if the pony
was a sofa, maybe she could hold on. So she recorded this on her phone. She thought it was really funny, and then she posted this video to Facebook. It was just a 15-second video, and she thought maybe just her friends would see it. But it went viral. And as of last Monday, it had been shared 85,000 times.
Yeah, Phoebe sent me this story.
Viewed 5 million times.
She thought it was an awesome story, so we decided to do it on the podcast.
Yeah, and of course, she has total strangers asking her all kinds of questions like, was the dog abused?
No,
you know,
I hate that.
Did you force the dog to ride that pony?
I hate that. Every time there's an animal video.
Did the dog take out your pony's eye? I mean,
every time there's an animal video on the internet, if you look through the comments, which don't look at the comments is probably good advice anyway. But if you ever look at the comments to an animal video, there's always someone claiming that whatever's happening in the video, no matter what it is animal abuse.
Yes. And that, and they always claim that that dog, you can tell that dog's stressed. Well, in this case, she just got home and that dog was riding that pony.
It was the dog's idea.
Yes. And she said she thought it was really funny because he was riding it just like a little person.
She didn't train it to do it. It just did it all on its own.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't her dog. It was the neighbor's dog. And apparently the neighbor's...
Oh, it was her pony, right?
It was her pony. The neighbor's dog. She says this neighbor's dog, she thinks its name is Roper, but she's not sure. She doesn't see the neighbors very much. They're Mennonites. They tend to keep to themselves. They aren't on the internet. They avoid going online, so...
Mennonites are kind of like Amish.
Their dog is very internet famous, but they don't go on the internet. So, but she says the dog will sneak through her home's doggy door and eat her dog's food. And just like, she knows the dog better than her neighbors, I guess, is what it sounds like.
It's just really funny. What a crazy, what's the word for that? Like a mischievous little corgi.
It's a stunt. I think that dog wants to join the circus.
It's a prankster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a funny dog, though. Roper or whatever
his name is. Just riding a one-eyed pony. Oh, hey, welcome home.
Hey. I could just see him like... And if you watch the video... Have you watched the video, Henry?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
I haven't actually watched the video yet. I've seen like the stills from it, but I haven't watched the whole video.
It's pretty dark because it is at night as she's pulling in. But you kind of see the dog look over. You kind of see it from behind with the pony riding off. And the dog kind of looks over his shoulder. And to me, it's almost like, hi-ho. You know, and off he goes into the night. Just riding away on his one-eyed pony friend. I thought it was a cute story.
I really like that story.
Yep. It's a good dog. He should run for governor of Kansas.
Let's do a quick round. This will be fun because Mom's here and she always disagrees with you. Let's do a quick round of either or.
I don't always disagree.
Oh, yeah, either or.
I got some random stuff to do for either or this time. Let's go ahead and get started. The first one, and just in case anyone's listening for the first time, it's a very simple game. I name two things. You tell me which one you think it is, and I tell you if you're right or wrong.
So this all depends on Dad's point of view.
Yes, but for purposes of this game, I'm the one who decides what's right and what's wrong.
Uh-huh.
So first one is raincoat or umbrella? Raincoat or umbrella?
Umbrella, because you can open inside and get bad luck. No, just kidding. I think it might be... Umbrella, it's fun to open it.
Umbrellas are fun to open, and they're cozy if you try to share them. But you never quite share them successfully, no matter how large they are. And
can you share raincoats?
They break all the time. No, you can't share a raincoat. But
also, they can raincoats blow don't break. Away.
They do blow away, and I've broken more umbrellas on windy days here. Sometimes when it's rainy here, it's also super windy.
Okay, so yeah, raincoat.
I'm going to go for raincoat.
That's annoying.
I'm sorry, you're both wrong. The right answer was umbrella.
Well,
now raincoats are really cool, especially if it's like a trench coat raincoat, like mm-hmm. Marlon Brando used to use in movies, like a detective in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But umbrellas are just really cool. It's nice to have an umbrella. It's nice to be able to open the umbrella, to be under the umbrella.
Yeah,
and you can share it with a loved one.
In theory, you can, but and it seems like it would be like all romantic and everything, but in reality, you're kind of bumping each other's shoulders and getting annoyed, and then the umbrella, the gust of wind comes up and it breaks.
And it seems like even if I have a raincoat, I just don't use it that much.
That's true. Where an umbrella, you can, if it's a small one, you can keep it in your purse if you're me.
Or you can carry it around.
Or in your car.
You can look kind of fancy when you're carrying an umbrella around. You can like put it down and use it as a cane walking down the street.
It can double as a weapon.
Yes.
Yeah. You can even like open it up, and theoretically, if you accidentally jump off a cliff, then you just float down.
In theory. Or if you're like in an action movie, it could, you know, maybe it's also some sort of dart gun. I don't know.
All right. The next one is egg yolks or egg whites.
You use them for different things.
Yeah. I would feel like this is...
I think egg yolks are delicious, especially if it's like over easy. But I also think egg whites are cool on their own because you can whip them up and they can become a meringue. kind of awesome.
Answer this one.
Yeah, no, I refuse to answer this one. They're used for different things. You use egg yolks and custard.
Refuse to answer it.
You can do that, but
you got to answer it. This is we're gonna play a game.
Whole egg. My answer is whole eggs.
One or the other. Come on, guys.
I'm gonna go for egg whites because I like meringues.
Fine, egg whites. I know what you're gonna say though.
Yeah, you're gonna say yolks.
Yes, I like egg whites too. They can make really good meringues. You can make a good macaroon or macaron.
Mm-hmm.
But egg yolks, you can make a custard with. Custard. True. And if you're just eating a fried egg,
the egg yolk is so delicious.
You can
dip
your toast in it.
Although I like the little crispy edges of the egg white on that too. I like it all together.
So although they're both good, egg yolks was the right answer. Next, either or. Wet socks or muddy shoes?
Oh.
Muddy shoes? Muddy shoes. Wet socks are like the worst.
Wet socks are terrible. Muddy shoes, you just take them off. And they're a pain, but you just take them off.
You wash them.
So mm-hmm. You say wet socks.
What? No, wet socks or muddy shoes. We take muddy shoes over wet socks. Both
yeah,
of us.
Wet socks are terrible.
And you're correct about that. Wet socks are. There's something really gross about having a wet sock, isn't it?
They're like miserable.
Slushy. It just feels wrong to have a wet sock. But
and they
muddy
bunch.
Shoes are bad. But that's part of the reason you wear shoes is to keep your feet from getting muddy. And you can always just leave your shoes outside when they're muddy and they'll dry and then you just kind of clap them together and all the mud falls off.
I hate that though.
I hate when people are like, oh, I don't want to get my shoes dirty. But isn't that what shoes are for?
It's true. That is exactly what shoes are for, to keep your socks from getting soggy.
It's better than muddy socks. But wet,
wet
there's
socks.
Something gross about it. Like, have you ever had socks on and stepped in a puddle?
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Squelches.
You're like, ooh,
and then,
gross.
And then your socks bunch up and you can end up with wet blisters and it's miserable. And then your feet are cold all day.
It's not good.
I hate it.
All right. Next, either or. Orange juice or grapefruit juice?
Orange juice.
I'm going to say orange juice.
And you're both right about that. Now, I like grapefruit juice quite a bit, but orange juice is one of the best juices out there. So it's no slight to grapefruit juice, but orange juice can be really excellent.
And a lot of times grapefruit juice is from grapefruits that are not the best for whatever. Like I like the juice that's like at the bottom of a good ruby red grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
But when you just get grapefruit juice, somehow it's usually like white grapefruits.
Yeah.
Which I don't like as much. I love ruby red grapefruits, but
apparently they have really good orange juice in Portugal because they grow oranges there and they have fresh squeezed orange juice. So hopefully. Next one, this is a little bit of a callback to a news story we did recently. Quicksand or sinkhole?
Yikes.
Quicksand because you can get out of it more easily just by like not struggling.
Okay, I'm going to say they're both really actually kind of cool, as long as you're not in them.
as long as it's not happening to you.
As long as it's not me. Like, theoretically, sinkholes are kind of awesome. Like, the book that I read where, like, the whole town was, like, basically getting swallowed by a sinkhole, it was a great plot device, and it, like, really ratcheted up the drama. And it was cool, because it was, like, there were all these underground tunnels, and it was all sinking into it. And quicksand is awesome because it's like what happens in like old movies and stuff or like choose your own adventure books. It's just fun.
Yeah, I know I've mentioned this before,
but I wouldn't want to be in either one.
When I was a kid, I thought quicksand was probably one of the top five things that can kill you because it seemed like every movie or TV show when I was a kid involved quicksand.
Yeah, so it was something that should be just at the top of your list of things to be worried about. But
yeah,
I know it exists somewhere. But I've never seen any.
It's just really wet sand.
No, I think it's.
All right, so which one do you pick? Quicksand?
I've never actually seen one.
Quicksand or sinkholes? Henry?
Quicksand because it's not as bad if you fall into it.
Mom?
Yeah, I guess it's probably like a smaller area.
Yeah, and plus, you're more likely to get out of it.
You're right.
Yes, and I know what to do if you're in quicksand.
And in sinkholes, you just fall right down and you injure yourself. But with sand, it kind of breaks your
fall. Quicksand, you just kind of want to pretend that you're swimming or trying to, like, float.
Yeah, and if you,
make yourself horizontal.
Off a cliff, then quicksand could save you because it just break your fall.
You just have to not panic. True. There are YouTube videos about actually how to deal with quicksand.
Yeah.
Not panic and just keep working effort and get to the edge and pull yourself out. And if you can get someone else to help, if you can call for help.
Kind of pretend you're swimming.
The thing about sinkholes is, though, you really have no control over it. Like, you could just fall into a sinkhole and die. There's nothing you can do about it.
And they can be really
quicksand,
big.
At least you have a chance.
I think the real question here is sinkholes or riptides?
Ooh. They're all
maybe
scary.
Maybe we'll save that for another one. All right, last one, and I think we've probably done variations on this one before, but it's a classic, so we come back to it. Potato chips or tater tots?
They're just so different.
Chips, because there's more of a variety.
Made of potatoes.
They're both made of fried potatoes.
They're both fried.
And hopefully salted.
Isn't it weird that a fried potato can be so different?
Yeah, there's like three fried potatoes. Mm-hmm. You include fries.
I mean, potato chips are portable and they're longer lasting. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll go for that. Although really good tater tots that are really fresh are just about unbeatable. Like, they're so good.
Tater tots or potato chips?
Potato chips, because they have a really good variety. And are you sure that they're better than salt and vinegar chips? Actually, I think they might be the same.
I like plain potato chips.
Is potato chips both your answer?
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm sorry. Tater tots was the answer we were going for. That was
but
the right answer.
Tater tots, if they get cold or if they're not adequately salted, really are not good at all.
Yeah, so you should eat them while they're hot. But tater tots are really good.
They are
potato
really good.
Potato chips are not bad.
But they're longer lasting, though. You can take them on car trips.
And that is either or.
Oh, yeah, either or.
All right, we've only got one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
So today for Treat Yourself, I've got something that I saw in the grocery store. I don't even know for sure what it is, but because I didn't know what it was, I grabbed it and decided we can do it for Treat Yourself. This is Skippy PB Bites graham cracker.
PB
I don't know
bites,
what that
PB
is.
Bites, PB Bites.
I guess they're little snacks that are made of peanut butter and graham cracker.
PB Bites is fun to say. PB Bites.
I'm guessing PB the PB stands for peanut butter.
That would be a good guess.
Unless it stands for...
Phoebe Bear.
Porcupine.
Oh, did I say her full name?
Bear? I don't know.
That sounds good.
Phoebe Bear. They could be Phoebe Bear Bites.
Phoebe Bear Bites. It could be. It's still fun to say.
Phoebe Bear Bites. Do we want to use her full name on here?
I don't know.
Well, we use other people's full names?
I don't know. Are we keeping her anonymous to protect the innocent? Or
I think we should.
She's innocent.
Protect the guilty.
I think you know.
Protect the Phoebe.
All right, so Skippy PB Bites. This is our Treat Yourself. Don't know what they're like. They come in a little snackable container. Looks like there's about 5.3 ounces of PB Bites in this container.
They kind of look like peanut butter Captain Crunch.
They kind of smell like peanut butter Captain Crunch.
I love peanut butter Captain Crunch. Let's see.
I would say these are not recommended for people with peanut allergies,
probably
obviously.
Not.
But they smell pretty good. Mm. All right. Let's pass them around, and then I'll mute the mic so we don't chew into the mic. William has joined us for Treat Yourself.
Hello.
Hey, Will. Muting the mic now, and then we'll come back and tell you what we think. All right, what do we think, guys?
They taste like those like little balls of pretzels with peanut butter inside them.
Except reverse, the peanut butter's on the outside.
And there's like stuff on the inside.
There's only a slight graham cracker aftertaste.
They're a tiny bit sweet, too, but not very sweet. I think they're really good. I like them.
I also think that they are delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I mean, I could snack on them, but they're not, like, the best. I'm going to give it an okay.
I would snack on them.
It's okay.
I give it delicious.
Henry thinks it's just.
Okay.
One thing.
I like them. I think the peanut butter reminds me of Reese's peanut butter.
Yeah.
It's like a really sweet peanut butter. But then the graham cracker in the middle, I think it's a little bit salty. It's very
the
crunchy.
The peanut butter's a little salty, too.
The graham cracker center is really crunchy, which I like.
It's not as sweet as the Reese's peanut butter filling, but the texture is similar. I think it's really good. It's a little bit sweet, but not too sweet. It's a little salty, not too salty. One thing that I think is a little bit scary and a little bit dangerous is you've got this little container here, and it looks like it's an individual-sized container. It's about, you know, it would hold about the right amount of cereal if it was cereal. But serving size is about 15 pieces, 160 calories per serving. There are 5 servings in this container. Mm,
yeah.
So.
And it seems like one person could eat that whole thing if they're not
careful.
Yeah. Which is a little scary. Yeah. So you would want to find four or five friends at least.
There's 4 here.
To share this. But this, honestly, like, this should come in, like, little containers like Sixlets. Like, the little plastic sleeves.
Yeah.
And that would be about the right size for... And it's satisfying. I don't think that you would want to eat the whole thing. I think you'd feel a little sick because, you know...
They're good, though.
But they're good.
Oh, it is graham cracker flavor.
Sugar-free chocolates that you almost got, Mom.
Oh, goodness.
The other thing about it is because the peanut butter's on the outside, they have the potential to be kind of messy. But they're not too bad. I mean, if you just keep it in your hand for a little while, but it seems like if you took a whole handful, your hand would get really peanut buttery.
You wouldn't want to keep them in the car during the summer for sure, or even the spring or the fall, because I think they would melt.
Or during a winter at the equator.
Yeah.
Which basically like summer year.
So,
but they're good.
We got 3 votes for delicious and 1 for okay. Skippy PB Bites.
I feel like if we had the good rating, it'd be good.
Made with real Skippy peanut butter.
Skippy. Darn
Skippy. So that is our podcast for today. Thank you, Henry and Mom, for participating.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. We got a couple good shout outs this week. We got a shout out from Kevin, a new listener, who says he really enjoys listening. He listens to us when he's in the car or right before bed.
We help him fall asleep. Thanks, Kevin.
We also got a shout out from the person who runs a podcast called Someone Else's Shoes. It's a podcast out of Australia. Not sure how he found our podcast, but I definitely recommend his podcast. It's really good. There's only, I think, 1 episode that's been published so far. Oh, another one just got published, so I'm going to have to listen to that one as well. But it's a really good podcast. It's very different from ours. It's pretty serious in subject matter, but it's where he interviews and tells the stories of people with different backgrounds than himself. And it's really well done. I recommend it. It's called Someone Else's Shoes. So check out that podcast. Not much like ours, but it's a very good podcast, and I can easily recommend it. And it's a podcast out of Australia. So check that out. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. On Twitter, we are TTD Podcast. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to help us out, one thing you can do is you can give us 5 stars on iTunes. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, that helps the podcast just in terms of getting the word out on the podcast and getting it out there so other people can hear it. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.